This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I am interviewing Tom Amin, who is living his dream through making magical Disney music. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy music schedule to be a part of this. Why don't we get started by giving the audience some background about yourself?
Okay. My name is Tom, as you said before, and I'm a musician that lives in California. I'm from Ohio. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, but now I live in California. I'm a piano player, and I've been doing it for a really long time. And I release a bunch of albums. I have a lot of relaxation CDs out that you can find like online and in the stores and all that good stuff. But I'm also a huge Disney fan. So I've always loved Disney since I was a little kid. And then when I started to learn music, it was such an integral part of my life. So I decided to release Disney albums as well. But that's basically just a music guy here in California trying to live the dream.
And you definitely are living the dream, I would say.
Thank you.
Definitely expensive to be living out there, to be living the dream.
It is quite expensive. Let me tell you, moving from Cleveland, Ohio to Los Angeles was quite a culture shock. And the prices, I remember, because I moved, it's been a long time. I mean, I moved out back in 1999, but I will tell you, it was sticker shock. Everything here was sticker shock for me.
So what would you say inspires you?
I would say, you know, there's a few things that inspire me. The first one is I'm actually kind of a nature guy. I love nature. I love to look out and see, you know, trees and animals, and the ocean here is gorgeous. I try to get to Vermont once every other year during the fall. I have good friends that live up there, and it's beautiful. And I've always been inspired by that. That's like number one. And then I also, of course, am inspired by music. I love listening to music. I listen to all different kinds of music. And of course, I love Disney music. So the Disney stuff really inspires me, especially the movies that have recently come out, like Frozen. You know, I love Tangled. Was great. The Princess and the Frog I really liked. So that kind of stuff inspires me as well. And then of course, I love getting inspired by people and their stories and what they tell me about. And I love talking to other Disney fans about their memories of Disney, you know, like the first time they went and what they remember specifically from their very first ride, or, you know, what was their first dealing, like when they met Mickey Mouse for the first time at the parks, like what was that like? I'm fascinated by those kind of stories.
We both know I love Disney, and I'm sure the audience by this point knows that I love Disney.
Yes.
Especially Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
It never gets old seeing people experience things for the first time, and especially taking people down with you that you know and love for the first time, their first experience.
Yes. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what makes it all worth it, no matter how much they try to keep us out by raising the prices.
I know. Talk about sticker shock. Even the price out here, they raised at Disneyland. They're really raising the prices out here. And I love going there, but it's so expensive. But they're doing that out here because Disneyland has so many locals. It's like it's a big park here for our locals. So everyone goes there all the time. So I think they're raising prices to kind of maybe thin out the park a little bit, because it's always crowded at Disneyland. Always.
Well, they have an awesome product, so.
Yes, they do. They do. You know, when I moved here, Disney World was the only thing I had experienced growing up as kids because we lived in Ohio. And so we went down to Walt Disney World in Florida for our vacations. Then when I moved out here, I started going to Disneyland. And it took me a while to really love it and learn to respect it for what it is. Because Disney World, as you know, is so huge. I mean, it's a whole world. But out here, Disneyland is much smaller. There's only two parks. You know, I think our whole Disneyland could fit inside the parking lot of Epcot. I mean, I think that's how it is, but it's so magical and really nice here because it's Walt's park. You know, it was the first one he did that he saw through completion. And they have a lot of really fun things that go on in the parks. And I have to say, I love the Haunted Mansion ride here. The Haunted Mansion overlay for Halloween is amazing, where they do all the Jack Skellington stuff. It's amazing. And the Pirates ride here is really cool, too. It's like really long. I think the Pirates ride in Walt Disney World seems shorter to me, but the one here is really long. So I really have learned to respect it and love it for the charm that it is.
Yeah, definitely. Those things that you mentioned, I haven't been out to Disneyland, but from everything I've heard, it's pretty amazing for on a ride-to-ride basis compared to Walt Disney World, which is a shame because the whole point of Disney World was space.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Well, Disney World has Epcot, though. So that's my favorite park.
That's a lot of people's favorite park.
Yeah.
To me, Epcot has always been crazy because if you dropped Epcot away from everything else, I don't know that it would stand on its own. Like if you dropped it in like the middle of Detroit or anywhere really.
Right.
Would people go to experience Epcot outside of Disney World?
That's a good question. And I've never thought of it. So I mean, I don't really know.
They're all great as a team, but if you take any single one out and dropped it into a bubble, would it stand on its own to have the kind of star power?
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I don't know.
So how did your dream of becoming a musician full-time come about?
Well, I had been working. I had studied piano, you know, since I was about 12 years old. And I had a good natural knack for it. And I had a good ear for it as well. I took a lot of lessons and I studied classically for a while. And it was all really great. But I loved pop music. I loved, you know, like Broadway stuff and jazz and that kind of thing. So I worked in Cleveland till I was about 29 years old. And I decided to make a move to Los Angeles to kind of broaden the career a little bit and let myself have more opportunities. Because, you know, either in Los Angeles or somewhere like New York, there's a lot of opportunities for musicians. So I decided to move to LA first because my sister lives here. Like she had moved out here 2 years before me. So it was nice to have a family member out here. And then I had met, I don't know if you know who Jim Brickman is, but he's another pretty famous pianist. He travels all over the world and he's had a lot of number one hits on the radio. And he did a Disney album for Disney as well once. But I had met him because he's from Cleveland and he really encouraged me to come out to LA to say, hey, look, you can, you know, there's a lot more you can do here. And I said, okay, so that's how it all came about. I decided to do it, moved to Los Angeles, and then just started to find whatever work I could, you know, play piano at restaurants, you know, pick up gigs. I did some music directing when I first got here for theater, anything I could to get my hands on music. And of course, it was really cool to be, I live right by Burbank. So that's where Walt had all the studios, like Walt Disney Studios is there, the Disney Animation. And it's just so wild to be like, it's literally 5 minutes from where I live. And it's just wild to think like this is where Walt, you know, spent most of his time. Like, here in Burbank is where he created all these studios and making the movies. And it's really fun. But that's what made me move out here was just to say, why not try it, you know, and see what happens.
Well, I was just going to say that your story actually sounds very close to Walt's, given that he moved out because, you know, with his brother already being out there.
Right, right. That's true. And yeah, sometimes when I go to Disneyland or even if I'll drive to downtown Disney, I drive on the freeways and I really do think like this is the freeway that Walt drove on. You know, that he would take the 5 to go to Anaheim and this is the road he would take to go back. It was like, it's kind of surreal when you're a Disney fan, but that's kind of like my quirky mind thinks like that. So I think of that sometimes when I'm driving on the freeways back from Disneyland.
So how was your dream received by your family members?
Well, they've always been very supportive because they've supported my music since I was a little kid. Well, since I was 12 when I started playing. And then when I first started taking lessons, they put me into a class just to see how well I would do. And the class had a lot of Disney music. That's how I really started to learn. Now, at the time, you know, I'm a little bit older. So this was like in the 70s and early 80s. So at the time, it was like Mickey Mouse Club and Pete's Dragon, you know, and the Aristocats and the Rescuers. It was like all that kind of music, but I really loved it. So they were very supportive, and they were very supportive of me coming to California because they knew there would probably be more opportunities here for me. Just whereas Cleveland, you can only go so much if you're a musician, you know. And so they thought, well, come out here and try to make something for yourself. And they fully supported it. It was really, really neat. It was really great. And they know that I love Disney and I love music, and they thought it would be a good fit for me. And they were excited because my sister lived here as well. So I had a family member here, which was nice.
So what steps did you take to get started becoming a musician? And then what steps did you take to get started moving? And how was adjusting to all that? I know you mentioned that it's like a lot of sticker shock. That's pretty obvious to anybody that knows that California is expensive.
Yes, it's so true. Well, what I started to do was, of course, I tried to save as much money as I could. So that was like, just practically speaking, that's what I did, and saved as much money as I could. I tried to make as many contacts as I could in California before I moved there, because I knew some people in Cleveland that had some contacts in LA. So they would give me, hey, try this person when you get there. Oh, my cousin, you know, he lives out there now. He's from Shaker Heights, Ohio. You know, try, get with him and see if he has any ideas, you know, and stuff like that. So that's what I did. So I tried to contact a bunch of people to try to make the transition a little bit easier, because it was a big transition. I mean, I have to admit, when I first moved here, I wanted to go back home like within 2 weeks. I'm like, what the heck am I doing here? You know, it's like, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and this is like so different. And again, my parents were very supportive. And my mom said, you know, give it a few months. She's like, you already moved out there, give it a few months. And then if you don't like it, just come back. So by the end of a few months, I fell in love with it and loved it. But that's kind of the prep I did, was I just tried to make contacts. I got all my music to there, because I only had one album out at the time. But I made sure I had enough copies to bring everything, like my resume, everything that would, you know, try to get me a job. I prepared with that. And once I moved here, I was lucky because I had my sister here. So when I was looking for a place to live, like, she could help me look in certain areas, all that good stuff. And then as soon as I got a little bit settled, I would just try to venture out and try to get music work, you know, whether it be through these contacts I had, or, you know, the theater that I somehow got hooked up with. I can't remember exactly how that worked, but I got hooked up with a musical theater. And then as you meet new people here, then that spreads out, like, people know people and people know other people and all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of like, it took a long time though. It took a long time to get adjusted. I mean, it took me a good year before I was even comfortable on the freeways here, because the freeways here are crazy. So, I mean, it did take me a good year to like get comfortable enough to drive securely on them, but that's kind of what I did in preparation.
So were there any roadblocks with getting out there, or once you got out there, that you hit and had to try to overcome?
The only thing, I was pretty lucky in that there weren't any like major roadblocks. The only thing that happened was when I first moved out here, well, I guess this is a roadblock. When I first moved here, I had come from a 2-bedroom apartment. So I had movers move all my stuff, and it was being driven across the country. So once I got here, I lived with my sister for a little while, but you have to understand, at the time she lived in a guest house. So it was like 500 square feet. It was very, very tiny. So I came with just a suitcase and a couple things and my computer, and we set up shop there. But I said, I only need to stay here for a month or two, because then I'm going to find a place. So I did find a place in Hollywood, which I was going to move to. I put down a deposit. I bought a refrigerator, because out here, usually the apartments don't have refrigerators. You have to bring your own. So that was being delivered. So I get to the apartment that I'm supposed to move into, and I hear this huge dog making like a ton of noise in the apartment next to me. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like, that's going to be loud. And the dog actually had jumped over the balcony onto mine And he went to the bathroom on my balcony. And I was like, and I have a cat. At the time, he was only 3 years old, but I just have a little cat. And I was like, my cat is going to go crazy and be so scared. I was like, I can't live here. I can't. And, you know, I just moved out here. Everything was so new. I think that had something to do with it. You know, I was just kind of panicked. I said, I can't live here. So I broke the lease. Well, I hadn't signed it yet, but I broke it. The guy let me get out of it. I had to deny the refrigerator. It like got there that day. I said, no, I can't accept it. And then all of my clothes, all of my stuff was coming on the trucks from Ohio. So I had to divert them. They had to go put it in storage like an hour away somewhere. And it had to be held there for another month until I found a better place. So I guess that really was a hiccup or a barrier or a roadblock. That was probably the biggest one. But then once I found the apartment I'm in now, it was much easier. Everything was fine. I moved in and everything was good from there.
Well, I was going to ask how you overcame the shyness of moving.
I think the shyness of moving here was, I'm from like a smaller town outside of Cleveland. So that's what I was used to. And then once I moved to Los Angeles, it was so big. And there's so many people here and there's so much traffic, you know, and it's like overwhelming. For me to come out of that shyness shell, what I had to do was just start exploring stuff on my own, little by little. Like I remember one night I said, you know what, I'm going to drive to Borders. Borders was still, you know, a thing. I was like, I'm going to drive to Borders in West Hollywood. And I lived in Sherman Oaks, which was kind of about a half hour away. And I thought that if I could do that, drive myself, not have to use my sister, you know, not have to rely on her to do it, but just do it myself, take my car and go. And that's what I did one night. And I was very proud of myself. Like it was a big achievement for me, you know, like, okay, I drove to Borders and then drove home. So I started to do little things like that. I started to drive and explore the different neighborhoods in the city. I would ask, I had a couple friends, by this time I'd made a couple friends through the theater job that I had done. That I started to do, I met one of the director was a friend of mine. And I said, you know, can we go explore Griffith Park? Or can you take me to Santa Monica? I just want to see it. And I started to do things with other people. That helped me get out of my shell because it was really easy just to stay in the apartment because I was so overwhelmed, you know, and since everything was so new, it was kind of freaky. But then I would just try to think, you know, try to calm myself down and think, look, I'm here for a reason and I want to do music. I'm 5 minutes from Disney Studios, you know, this is not a bad place to be, you know? So, and then as I started to do things on my own and get more work, you know, and meet people on my own, not just for my sister or the job, things just seemed to start to fall in place for me.
So has there been any parts of your dream that haven't quite worked out?
Let's see. Well, there's a couple things. Cause you know, when I first got here, I thought, well, I want to do this and I want to tour internationally, you know, and I want to record with so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. So some of that stuff hasn't worked out. I don't know if it ever will, but I mean, someday I would love to tour around the world, you know, doing venues or something, or maybe even playing at like Disneyland Paris or Tokyo Disney or, you know, something like that. So that quite hasn't worked out yet. And just trying to think of other things. At the time, I really wanted to get signed to a record label. That was the other really big thing I wanted. Like I want to get signed. At the time it was Windham Hill Records because that was still in existence. It was a really good independent label. And so I wanted to get with them, but that never actually happened. That was a disappointment at the time. I remember that. You know, things are so different now that you really don't need a label. So, I mean, it's so different now, but remember at the time, this was like 1999, really before the birth of the MP3s and the iPods and all that kind of stuff came to be. So that was something that actually never happened for me.
If you were stranded on a deserted island with your family, what are three things that you would really want to have with you?
All right, let's think. Because if I'm there with my family, all right, the first thing we'd have to have some kind of board game. That's the first thing because we love to play games. So we'd have to have some kind of board game or like Taboo, one of those. So I'd need to have that. I definitely need to have music somehow. So I don't know, like it's a boombox or just a radio, but I'd need to have that. So those two things. And then I would love to have, if I could, and I'm sure it's a very typical answer, but like my iPad, just something like that. So let's say iPad, a board game, and boombox or something for a radio.
You know, what's funny is the iPad can do all of that and be an iPad.
You know, you're exactly right. So maybe that's really not the three best things to maybe, you know what, maybe a crank flashlight so that I can have light at night. That would be kind of nice.
You sit there with your Wilson.
Exactly.
Crank it on, let it die out. Crank it on.
Exactly. Exactly.
So do you have any dreams for the future?
Oh, yes, of course. I would love one of my big dreams right now is I would love for the music, the Disney stuff that I've done, would love to take that to the next level, like to get it somehow in the Disney parks, have it be sold in the Disney parks, or maybe do a concert there. That's a huge dream of mine. I would love that. And my other dream right now is with my other music, because when I'm not doing the Disney music, I actually release my own albums, but it's all original music. So I do a lot of writing and composing, but I would love to do a soundtrack, like a score for either like a Disney cartoon, a video game, or like an independent movie. Like, that's what I would love to do next. I think it would be wonderful. I'm a huge gamer, so I love video games. I would love to score a video game. I think that would be really cool. But yeah, or to score like even a short Disney cartoon would be great, or even some kind of independent movie. I just think it would be so fun to do that. That's what I'm dreaming of next.
So I could be talking to the next Pharrell right now.
Yeah, you never know, right? Let's put it out there.
Yeah, hey, you don't get anything if you don't ask.
Exactly. That's the truth, isn't it?
Yep. Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share?
First of all, I want to say thanks for listening, because every time I come on a podcast, I really enjoy doing them. I really enjoy being part of a Disney community. I think it's great. And I really love that people like my music. I mean, it's all I can ever ask for. So I'm really thankful for that. And I would just say, keep going for your dreams. If you have a dream that's in your life, something you've always wanted to do or always wanted to try, no matter where you are, you know, dreams can happen anywhere that you're at. And I just say, go for it, because we only live once, you know, like on this grand and miraculous spaceship or ship, or, you know, the beginning of spaceship Earth. Like, we're only here for a short period of time. So I say, go for it. Go for the dreams.
Before we wrap up with your plugs, I wanted to ask you about, you know, how awesome it is to you to be licensed by Disney, or at least have the rights?
Excuse me, the rights to do it. Yeah, because, you know, they can always say no. You know what I mean? Like, whoever owns that material can always say, nah, no, I don't want to do it. Now, that really probably wouldn't happen, because they make money. They get some percentages of the songs and as well. But I know how Disney is very particular, and they're very protective of their product and very protective of their ownership of what they have. So to get a license, what you have to do is kind of like submit all the songs, say, this is what I want to do. They'll say, okay, but then they have to see your album cover to make sure that you're not using any Disney likeness or imaging, any Disney fonts, anything like that. Because unless they sanction it, they don't want you to use their imaging. Which I can understand. So as soon as they've approved every album cover that I've sent in, which I'm very grateful for, you know, and I was like, when I first did Piano and Pixie Dust, I was like, I wrote to my guy and I was like, is Pixie Dust a copyrighted Disney term? And he said, no, it's not. So I was allowed to use Piano and Pixie Dust, you know, but they've been really cool. They've been really great. And they've approved everything I've asked for. Even the last album I did, the Magical Moments, I wanted to put Zorro on there and they couldn't find the copyright for it. The guy's like, I know we have it somewhere. He's like, but go ahead and put it on. And if there's any issues, we'll take it up. We can look at it from a different agency. But he's like, go ahead and put it on. And I said, cool, because I really wanted Zorro on the album. So they've been pretty good. I've been very happy with them.
On the Zorro song, are they still collecting for that?
I don't know, because they couldn't find it in their system. So it's either they own it or maybe the different company co-owns it with them. I'm not sure, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, don't they release the Zorro shows on DVDs and stuff? I thought, I don't know. I think they do, because my dad has them on DVD and he got my niece and nephews hooked on Zorro. So you have a new generation of kids that are watching Zorro, but they must be able to collect royalties somehow. But yeah, so they, but he was real cool. He's like, yeah, just put it on and we'll deal with it if there's an issue. But He's like, I don't think there will be an issue, but go for it. I said, cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people find you on Facebook and Twitter?
All the good stuff, right? If you go, my website is tomamine.com. So it's just my name, T-O-M-A-M-E-E-N. So tomamine.com. All the links are there, but you can always just search on Facebook. Just type Tom Amine and then I'll come up. Same thing with Twitter. It's my Twitter name is just Tom @TomAmine. And then I'm on iTunes. So if you want to hear samples of the music, just go to iTunes or even Google Play Store. The Amazon store has them as well. And just type in Tom Amine and all the stuff will come up.
That's great. And I'll get all that in the show notes.
Awesome. This has been really, really great. I love it.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
No problem. And thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter @DreamersPodcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/DreamersPodcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.